na, 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 na. Do we sound anything like that?
No, we don't.
All right, well, anyway, welcome along. Proper Sport does WWE here on Proper Sport. My name's Tom Maguire, and I'm joined alongside Richard Shaw Wright.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Looking forward to another chat about the exciting world of professional wrestling, sports entertainment.
Can't call it wrestling anymore.
No, they don't like that.
Anyway, yes, so Battleground. We're going to be talking about Battleground that's just been on the WWE Network, Richard. First impressions?
If you've not watched it yet...
Right, where are you going with this?
Just watch the first match and then go do something else. Is that fair?
I don't think that's fair.
Oh.
Because, all right, let's go through it, right? Overall, I thought it wasn't that good of a pay-per-view.
No, it wasn't.
Whereas last week I was talking about Great Balls of Fire being one of the best B show pay-per-views I've seen in a little while. This one, not so much. You talk about the New Day and the Usos as your first match because we don't care about the pre-show. I'm sorry, Ty Dillinger.
Ten,
but we don't care.
Ten.
Oh, and also Aiden English. Yeah.
Ten.
But don't really care for it. However, the SmackDown Championships now belong to the New Day. Thoughts on that, Richard?
Well, I can't wait for their matches against all of the other tag teams, like the Fashion Police and the Ascension and the Usos again. But yeah, it was a really good match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We spoke a bit about tag team wrestling last week, and that was a really exciting match. That super kick!
It was a fantastic super kick.
Nearly dead. I like the fact that New Day were Americans.
Yeah.
So you were against the
Americans. Not
even Americans.
The 4th of July.
No. No, it's a really exciting, fast-paced, good match. They had the two faster New Day people in there, didn't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not often I've seen Xavier and Kofi, actually.
No.
So I was thinking, how are they going to do the finish? Because usually it's Big E with his big ending.
Exactly.
And then you've got Kofi. But it was the Trouble in Paradise going into Xavier with a hell of an elbow drop. It looked awesome.
It was just a really exciting, fast-paced, as I say, match. And well worth watching. And if you, you know, if you are going to just watch one match on the card, well, that's the one to watch.
Tag team division is pretty good, even over on Raw at the moment, I think, as well. Like, we're talking about that Iron Man match between Cesaro and Sheamus and the Hardys. That was really good,
yeah.
And this was just as good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a shame. It's one of the things with the brand split, isn't it? There's not as many tag teams to spread on each of the programmes. Mm. As we say, who the New Day are going to fight now? The Usos, and that's about it. Unless, you know, unless a team comes up from the NXT.
Which one, though? No, we're not going to,
because probably authors are paying out ready and neither heavy machinery, so there isn't really any great competition for them. But it's not as if New Day have lots of great matches all the time. Anyway, they just come out and do their stuff,
their spiel.
Yeah, and they're good at their stuff, and people aren't bored of it yet, which is a surprise because they've been around for a while now.
However, I've talked about this. I genuinely thought I was going to be bored of it now, but the break, I think, definitely helped them.
Yeah, and new scenery, and the Usos have been very good as well. I think they're. New characters have been bad people. Although it was funny when they went, ooh, and the crowd went, so, you're not supposed to do that now. Mm. But no, it was really good. Really good match and well worth watching as opposed to most of the programme.
Well, we'll come on to the next one then. Shinsuke Nakamura. Don't worry, we will be talking about the Punjabi prison, which... Oh, I've things to say about that, don't worry. And we're also going to talk about Cena, everything that's been on the card, but we're going to go through it chronologically. Shinsuke Nakamura, I've said that wrong, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin, of course, who's got the briefcase. This was a boring match,
and I never
thought I'd say that, really, about Shinsuke.
What a weak ending as well.
Yeah.
Low blow,
very
disqualification.
Poor.
It's almost like they made this match, and then they realised... They don't really want Baron Corbin to lose
because
he's got the briefcase. Even though it works perfectly, because if he's got the briefcase, he can't lose, because then when he cashes it in...
He's more of a snaky sort of snake face.
But he's also got ready-made challenges, because you think, ah, I beat you before,
yeah,
and now I'm going to beat you again. Now you are the champion of the world or the universe or whatever it is. they don't really want Nakamura to lose.
Because he's the rock
great.
Star, the artist. They're coming
the
up
artist.
With all sorts of nicknames for him.
The fellow with the stripy trousers.
Great haircut.
Yeah, so they don't want him to lose. So they've booked this match and they think, oh.
Booked themselves
well,
into
it could have been worse.
Yeah.
He could have had a double count out or something.
Oh, that would have been awful.
But, I think Baron Corbin's just a bit meh.
Do you think they're... Okay, I know it's a bit early to say this, but do you think they're giving the briefcase to him perhaps too early? Do you think maybe it could have gone to somewhere better?
Well, it depends what they're going to do with it, because you can't see him cashing in on Jinder Mahal, obviously, can you?
No.
Spoiler alert. So who's he going to cash in on?
I don't know. It'd have to be a babyface, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but at the moment there's no one. Unless he turns somewhere, though. But you can't really see that, can you?
Couldn't. I couldn't see that. But overall, to say that it was a lot, it felt a long, longer match than it probably was.
Yes, it did. But it's the week ending, but they kind of got themselves into that corner, didn't they? So, not very good. Hopefully they're not matched up against each other at SummerSlam. Mm. But the problem is that finish kind of opens it up to another match.
Yeah.
Which no one wants to see.
I really don't want to see it, actually, because I've not enjoyed it on SmackDown on the television. I've not enjoyed it on this pay-per-view. I don't want any more of them two together, really. It's not been good enough. Right, we'll move on to the Fatal 5-Way between the women. I thought it was a good match. Not too bad. Three quick eliminations, which I wasn't really happy about. But Natalya versus Charlotte towards the end was really cool, because I'd like to see them in a big sort of tier match. But I'm really pleased that Natalya won, because... I don't know, I think that she's not really... She's kind of been meandering, I think, for a little bit. Her heel gimmick's getting a little bit better as well. And I think it'll be a pretty decent match at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Because Naomi's going to cheer. I think the fans still want to cheer Natalya, though. That's the problem.
Mm. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, maybe. But go on.
She's like a fine wine, anyway. But, bloody hell. Lana's not a wrestler.
She's not that great. To mean, is
not that great. I mean, that's an overestimation of her ability. She's very good at, like, standing there in one of those dress suit things and bashing the ring and being pretending to be Russian.
A manager,
being Russian.
Yes.
And going, Rusev, Grushuk, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She's very good at that. That's what she's very good at. She's very good at Instagram as well. But she's not very good at the wrestling. Right? So don't make her a wrestler, because that's not what she is.
I think, you know, there's an argument to be made that she could be taught a little bit better and everything. They've teamed
her
up with Tamina.
She doesn't need to be a wrestler.
Tamina, for me, is very poor. They make her out like this. She's this big brute, you know.
The thing is, when they were stood side by side, she's not that much taller than Lana, was she?
No.
Which really stood out to me. I'm thinking, she's supposed to be like the big scary one.
Yeah.
Now, Nia Jax isn't massively tall, is she? But she's obviously bigger than the rest of her Raw opponents. Whereas Tamina doesn't actually look that tall. I'll have to Wikipedia it. Not that Wikipedia, of course, will have an accurate answer.
No.
But she didn't look too much taller than Lana. And Charlotte's obviously very tall as well. She's from gymnastics and volleyball background.
How tall is Charlotte? Doesn't matter. She's tall, though. I understand that much. But Tamina, for me, is a bit of a... I don't know. Well, like, it seems like... I don't know. I think wasted talent is a bit... much, because she doesn't seem to be oozing personality and everything. I understand that much. She comes from a Hall of Fame sort of background with her father. I'm really not interested in her. So I was thinking, yeah, well, going into this match, Lana, her, gone. Either way, Becky, Charlotte, or Natalya.
Yeah.
Be a pretty okay match. But I'm really pleased that Natalya won, because I think she'd be a pretty decent opposition for Naomi.
Apparently, Tamina's 5'7". 5'9", according to...
Honestly, I didn't...
She's 5'9". Lana's 5'7". And Charlotte's 5'10".
Thank you.
And I thought Charlotte was tall.
Yeah.
And she is, so... but, you know, it's... it was all right. It was just... they didn't need Lana and Tamina. They kind of detracted from it. If there'd just been three of them.
Yeah.
Because they can all wrestle well.
Well, was this a case of let's just get them all in to this match?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And, you know, Naomi sat there. I like a shiny belt.
I was about to ask you this, because I'm not a big fan of it.
No, it's better than John Cena's spinning US title belt. Which
is it?
Rubbish.
Does it not devalue the belt?
It's a SmackDown Women's Championship.
Does it not devalue the belt?
No, because she's a good champion. If she was rubbish, then it would. But she's all right, isn't she? So
she is good. Her entrance is arguably one of the best. It's very cool.
Yeah, so no.
I'm a man.
That's a music.
That's exactly how it is. We're going to get pulled down for copyright now.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Like I say, I'm pretty. In fact, no, you didn't answer me. So, Natalya, as winner, what do you think about that?
Yeah, fine.
Happy with it?
Any of those three would have been fine with it, because they'll have a good match at SummerSlam. She's probably the most surprising.
Mm.
But no. That's fine.
It does raise questions as to what's going to happen now between Becky and Charlotte.
They'll probably have a fight at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they won't, because they're friends. Maybe they'll fight with Lana and Tamina. And we'll all go, oh, no. But SummerSlam will be on for about 20 hours.
It's going to be a long show, isn't it? Including pre-show as well. Oh, gosh. All right, moving on. Right. I thought this was going to be the match of the night. I enjoyed it.
But it wasn't, was it?
It wasn't as good as I hoped it'd be. And also, the finish was just so poor.
That's the thing as well. You can have a great match. Some great matches in the past have had really, you know, poor finishes. And you can get away with it. I think of Shawn Michaels and Mankind at In Your House Mind Games, whichever that one was. And it was a DQ finish, interference finish. But the match was really good. And the finish didn't really harm it too much. But this... The match was a bit lackluster as well, wasn't it?
Between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, yeah.
From what you build it up in your mind, it's going to be a great match, and it wasn't. So that kind of doesn't help either. Interesting where they go now, because obviously, where do they go going into
SummerSlam?
Yeah. Do they have a rematch? Does Kevin Owens fight John Cena? Mm. I mean, that's one of the ideas, or AJ Styles versus Nakamura, which people want to see. I don't know. We'll probably find out more when SmackDown Live is on Tuesday. But it was just a bit lacklustre, and I think that's the problem with the match, was we all expected to be a lot better than it was.
I was a bit disappointed. I enjoyed a lot of the sort of final maybe 5-10 minutes something.
Well, it's not to say it was terrible
It was not
Nakamura versus Corbin, but it wasn't as good as it could have been.
No, and I feel like, you know, the title helps this feud, definitely. Yeah. But I think it would have been much better if, for instance, AJ maybe had retained, or if Kevin Owens got DQ'd and that way AJ had retained that way. I could see this still going to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
They both are very, very good, but it just didn't really live up to the hype. Right, moving on to the flag match, which really surprised me, actually.
It's a rubbish gimmick again.
We
didn't know what it was going to be, did we, last week, when we spoke about this. It might be, you know, raise the other opponent's flag or whatever.
Well, you just put it on the stairs at the top of the ramp, whatever. Yeah. Whoever did the stairs flag, by the way, well done. Good graphics.
Please, here's the problem, right? Right, we all know what professional wrestling is, right? We don't need to tell you that. So we all suspend our disbelief, right? It's like in ladder matches. We're now trained to believe these people can't run up these ladders.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to come and get them. Because we know that's going to happen. So we accept that. But we know that they could have got up the ramp a lot faster to stick a flag in a bloody flagpole. So it's like, well... You know, we know this isn't quite on the level, despite the fact bookmakers are taking money on it. But come on, don't take the mickey too much, lads.
The thing for me, there was a moment where, for instance, Rusev could clearly put it in before John gets to the base of the pole of the flag, and John gets to the bottom of it, stopping, the only thing stopping him putting it in.
Yes.
It's a bit like, well, that's, you're pushing it a bit far there, lads. The two table finish was pretty good.
Because we know these two can have really great matches. So they didn't need the gimmick.
No, but I mean, personally, like you know me, I like the little things that are a little bit different.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a bit of a shame that this was resulted in a John Cena win, a win that he doesn't need.
Yeah.
Where Rusev does clearly need it, because he's come back. He's claiming, you know, he made those videos about Money in the Bank and all that. Where does Rusev go from here? That's the point as well for me, because John might be going off and doing, you know, American Great Season 4 or whatever. Might be making another movie or whatever, because this is free agent
status. I thought
he was
going to get a world title shot. What happened to that? Oh, they found a different foreigner to boo.
I have no idea, but like this is the thing, though. It comes back to the point of John doesn't need this win, Rusev does, and yet they've given it to John Cena. It was the same at WrestleMania 31 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, with a big tank.
Oh, how good was
when
that
Lana
entrance?
Was great and everything.
How good was that entrance with him coming on a tank? That was so cool.
Yeah.
I love you, Ruru.
Let's put them back together again.
Yeah. But although Lana's theme is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best entrances at the moment.
But then, God, Lana's entrance is brilliant.
No, the music. I'm not on about the actual entrance, but I like the music.
It's fair to say that this podcast is a big fan of Lana's entrance.
I don't know if I can leave that in, but we'll see. Right, quickly, Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis.
They've become the women. They're the women before the main event, killing time for people to go have a wee.
Who cared about this match. No one.
No one apparently no. Which is a shame. I don't. What are they doing with Mike Kanellis? What are they doing with him?
I don't understand why Mike and Maria. What they're doing? The power of love.
Well.
What's it going to lead to?
The only reason they weren't in NXT to start with to develop whatever they do is because Maria is like fit and Vince McMahon likes her, so she's on the main roster straight away. But that's the only reason, isn't it? Because everyone else gets
ducked. Mike's
in
pretty
NXT.
Good though, and from we've seen in TNA, but
Nakamura's in TNA. It was in NXT, and Samoa Joe was in NXT. And what's his name? Drew McIntyre is in NXT.
He's killing it at the moment.
Bobby Roode's in NXT. And all of them other people. Sami Zayn was in NXT. Yeah. Kevin Owens was in NXT.
I'm getting your point here, Richard.
And Mike Kanellis is here because his wife's fit. And that's the only reason why. Because if he wasn't, he'd be like Roderick Strong. But that's it, isn't it? That's the only reason why. She was on the wrestling before, in the old days, before PG.
Oh, dear. Right. So, no one cares for that, really, at the moment. It's a shame that Sammy... For instance, Sammy, if he was carrying the money in the bank at the moment, maybe it might be more interesting. Just throwing that out there. Right, moving on to the main event. Now, Da-da-da-da. The big point, okay? The third ever Punjabi prison. Yeah. I finally watched the first two.
Yeah.
Richard, they were awful.
Yeah.
Well, and so, I came into this thinking, this is going to be a long, long main event. And
I seem to remember, you know, the Big Show Undertaker one, wasn't that supposed to have the Great Khali in, but he was
apparently
he was taken out of the match for elevated liver enzymes or something.
Apparently, so all I know is on the actual show itself, Big Show attacked him, the Undertaker, and that's why he was like, Teddy Long came out, you know, being all Teddy. Holla, holla, holla. Basically...
There's not a tag team match, no.
He just went, right, so you think you're so smart. Well, you're in the match and Khali isn't. Yeah. Clearly trying to mask the fact that Khali couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Then it was Khali versus Batista, I believe.
Yeah.
Nice little leap from Batista at one point. That's about it. This match wasn't great, in my opinion. It really wasn't. And then to add insult to some form of injury... Great Khali comes out. Why and how and where from? And he came out to Jinder's theme. Can't even have his own theme. When was the last time that anyone cared about the Great Khali, Richard?
When was he last around? I want him and Natalya to reinvigorate their friendship from the past.
Him and who, sorry?
Natalya, they
were friends?
A thing, yeah.
Oh.
It was what it was again. And we all knew it was going to be this anyway. And the Punjabi prison, it's one of those awful structures where you can't actually really see what's going on. And half an hour of your life you're never going to get back. Again, don't watch it.
2014 was the last time he was WWE. 3 years later, comes back and helps Jinder Mahal retain his championship with a massive... Well, he's got massive hands. I mean, he's massive in general.
He's
a Khali person.
Man,
just strangled Randy whilst Jinder walked down. Now, don't get me wrong. I like the idea of, you know, Jinder getting more heat. I think it means he's going to keep the championship until SummerSlam. Clearly, this is Vince and the company basically saying, look, you know, India is a growing market for WWE. We're giving it the champion... to an Indian man. Is this going to be the start of an Indian stable?
What were just those four?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Poor, isn't it?
I don't know. They're aiming at a market, yeah, fair enough, but the rest of the world doesn't care. No one's buying Jinder Mahal as world champion. Well, that's not his fault. He didn't make himself the world champion. It's just meh.
All
right. But yeah, it's another meh main event, isn't it?
Overall, on the two scale, you got two thumbs up, Richard. Right, you've got two thumbs.
Well, it depends,
whereabouts on the scale would
it
be?
Depends. If you watch the whole thing,
yeah,
one thumb down. If you watch just the first match, two thumbs up, and then just don't watch the rest of the program.
Right. Okay.
Not even for Lana's entrance.
Stop saying that Lana's entrance.
Well,
Richard.
You brought it up.
Yeah, but I'm on about her music.
That's what I was talking about.
Right. Okay. Alright, another big issue that we wanted to talk about here on Proper Sport Does WWE. The big reveal. Last week on this podcast, I said, wouldn't it be great if it turned out that it was Jason Jordan or Chad Gable as Kurt Angle's son? Turns out it is that Jason Jordan Angle's son.
Correct answer.
What do you think about that?
Well, it depends on what happens tonight on Raw. I don't know what's he going to do. Unless he fixes it so he's like the world champion. because he can use his influence, can't he? But I don't know. We wait and find out. It's interesting. I mean, what happens to Chad Gable now as well?
I'm not sure.
And, you know, I was going to buy an American Alpha hoodie in the WWE Euro Shop sale, but they sold out. So I couldn't do that. So it's just, it's interesting. At least it wasn't Dixie Carter, because that would have been rubbish. And I think the crowd were a bit underwhelmed by it, weren't they? Because they expected something.
There wasn't much of
more
a reaction.
Exciting. But we'll just have to see how it plays out. John's good, isn't he? That's the thing. At least he's a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler.
It's not like it's not like when Mr. Kennedy was revealed as Vince's son, and then they dropped all that.
But
very quickly.
It wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't until he was with Gable they really clicked with your foot. That's your phone.
It is.
It wasn't until he came with Gable in NXT that he really clicked with the audience. So. I don't think he might do it as a single star.
Well, it depends what influence Kurt Angle has. If he manages it, well, he's not going to manage him, is he? Because he's the general manager or whatever, commissioner, whatever the job title he's got. But it just will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
it's all about the intrigue. He'll probably get, you would think, they can't push him to the world title, so he'll probably get stuck in the Intercontinental mix, which is good because we're all bored of Miz and Dean Ambrose.
And yet the Miztourage is pretty decent at the moment.
The Miztourage is
just
good.
The fact that it's the program with Dean at the moment is boring, because we've seen it.
So there you go. So if he wins the Intercontinental title from the Miz, then that's exciting and something new will happen.
Yeah.
And it's not Dean Ambrose versus the Miz anymore. Right. Use your nepotism, Phil.
Right, before we come on to your match recommendation of the week, anything else that you'd like to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah,
I can't think. Nothing much has happened. Now we've had a pay-per-view, we just have to wait for the next episode of SmackDown to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Would you like a good match or a bad match?
I would like a good match.
All right, because obviously with the exciting Punjabi Prison, we could have looked at rubbish cage matches in history, of which there are loads of. But instead, if you go to the WWE Network, where you'll find all this stuff,
$9.99,
and go to collections, you find the greatest matches of all time, which is an easy place to go to. Oh, no, it's not that. It's Hidden Gems, I beg your pardon. And it is a match from 1987. We're back in the NWA again, because there's a lot of good stuff there. And I'll pick up some WWF matches in the future. This is Ric Flair, the world champion, versus the United States champion, Barry Windham.
Mm.
Did you ever see Barry Windham when he was good?
No.
Because towards the end, he was bulked up and was a bit rubbish, but they spent a whole hour on their TV program fighting for the world title, and it's a really, really good match.
And it wasn't like an Iron Man match then?
No, it's just a match. They had other matches scheduled to come on once this match finished, but basically they put the main event on first, and they never got round to doing the other matches. From memory, I watched this on VHS tape years and years and years ago, but now you can watch it in pure exciting network vision on the internet. And it's a match where you after it, you think how big Barry Windham could have been but wasn't. And Ric Flair, he's just great, isn't he? And Ric Flair in 87 is probably Ric Flair in his peak. So it's a really good, really exciting match. And the big gold belt's on it. And Flair's Flair. And you think, it's like Conor McGregor's completely ripped him off.
We talked about this before, actually, not on the podcast, but... You're essentially saying that Conor McGregor is taking Ric Flair's gimmick.
But it's really good. So WWE Hidden Gems on the network, Ric Flair versus Barry Windham, if you've never seen it before.
From which show, sorry?
It's from the Hidden Gems collection. It's from Worldwide Wrestling, from January the 20th, 1987, US champion versus world heavyweight champion of the world.
Super stuff. Right, Richard, so I got, you said one thumb down for the Battleground.
Yeah. Just watch the tag team match.
I'm going to go with a one thumb halfway, like in Gladiator.
Yeah.
But overall, kind of, the path towards SummerSlam isn't intriguing me at the moment.
Not yet.
It reminds me of WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
Doesn't really intrigue me too much. But things will change. We will talk about it next week. Hopefully we not going to talk about someone's entrance too much next week. No. Anyway, Richard, thank you very much for joining us.
Bye.
Have a lovely week, everyone.